Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing and taking a deeper look into what happened in Brussels with this attack. We're going to have some detailed analysis, as well as what does this mean for Europe, and also what does this mean for the United States. And also, it is our Easter program. All this happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground. And, you know, we're going to, based on, you know, and I pray it doesn't happen. That's my desire.
I saw in a dream young people, I would say teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, and they were crying. God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
And the kids that have to go to war don't want to go. They're not ready. They're not ready mentally, physically, let alone spiritually. They were crying as draft was being reinstated, and it was a time of great confusion.
The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again. As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. You had the riots. We had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America. And it's like, that's where, when that statement was made.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel, always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do. We just go, nah, you're kind of a hothead. We'll kill you or ignore you. And then 1,000 years later, we say, man, Isaiah was a great guy.
Something
he was just wonderful.
This year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of people of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. And it will be known as the rural revival.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through a remnant.
You know, God is not a donkey and he's not an elephant. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
You're going to start seeing more miracles outside the church than you see inside the church.
Say today is a divine exchange and my people will no longer align themselves and agree with the enemy.
A portal for angelic visitation would come in that could not be stopped in this nation.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit. And the Spirit is going to rush to you. As a matter of fact, he's rushing to you even now as you hear this.
We're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so You know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the Word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Phase 2 of the Third Great Awakening has begun.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, it's our Easter program today. It's Good Friday, and we have so much to share. We're excited about sharing it. But before we do, we want to revisit Brussels and what happened there with this terrorist attack. You know, we are sad. I mean, it's just, you know, it's an atrocity what's really going on with these jihadists and how they're taking captive, you know, the freedom of everyone all around the world. I mean, right now we stand in solidarity with the people in Belgium and what they're going through. I mean, reports are that right now that their own government feel like they can't even protect their own citizens. And so you have people walking in fear in Europe, and one report is that they feel like they're sitting on a ticking time bomb. But we want to go straight into a collage of imagery of compassion and of love. And when you see this, I believe it's going to touch your heart, because now we're getting images all across Europe, all across Belgium, and people that are just identifying with what has just taken place. I want you to watch this. That's amazing, because I believe what the terrorists have done, you know, this thing's going to backfire on them. What we're seeing is that people are humans, that we stand together, that it doesn't take rocket science to see that, you know what, we don't want to see people blown up. We don't want to see people's lives destroyed. And so many people today, I'm encouraged, they're not allowing their hearts to get hardened. And they're not accepting this as a new norm. But with every attack, from San Bernardino to Paris to now Brussels, they're saying, no, We cannot tolerate this. This has to end. We need to come together. And on today's program, we're going to share some more insights and some more detail into some of the analysis of what's happening, because there's arrests that have been made. My understanding is that they're increasing their efforts to try to find more of these jihadists. But as Belgium is saying right now, that they kind of feel like they're sitting on a ticking time bomb. What does this mean for Europe moving forward with all of these refugees that are all in Europe right now? And what does that mean for the United States? It's only by the mercies of God that we haven't seen a larger 9/11 attack. And many are saying in the government that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we will be attacked here in the United States. We have so much to talk about when we get back from this break. In fact, you're gonna be hearing from the VP of Tactical Service, Scott Stewart. He was just interviewed by Glenn Beck. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Today, the earth is being overrun by darkness and desolation, terrorism, hatred, divisiveness. Who or what is going to turn this tide? As Christians, we are charged with living a life of influence and power just as Jesus himself did. So what would the world look like if every church existed as a powerhouse that equipped its people to fundamentally change the world around them? That is the Apostolic Church Arising.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the Apostolic Church Arising.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, here we are again. You know, we were just talking, it seemed, not too long ago about San Bernardino.
Yeah.
And here we are in Belgium, 34 people dead, Steve. Over 200 people injured. And
it's horrible.
It's horrible. And it needs to be addressed and it needs to be stopped. And, you know, many are saying, listen, this is just really the beginning. You know, things, many feel like this summer is going to be a very summer of rage. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of raw anger going everywhere, you know, but it's going to be the summer of rage. But we want to go straight to Glenn Beck and Scott Stewart. He's the VP of Tactical Service. He's going to give us some more detailed analysis about what is happening in Europe. Because remember, this is like a perfect storm that's brewing out there. And you have all of these refugees, which they already know have been compromised by ISIS. And it could be the fall, the collapse of the European Union. Everything right now is being held like with Band-Aids. And we need the mercies of God. But I want you to watch as they begin to unpack and share some more details about what's happening in Europe. Watch this.
Joining me now from Stratfor is Vice President of Tactical Analysis, Scott Stewart. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn.
You bet. First, let's start, before we get into deeper analysis on this, tell us what we know about the attackers today. Who are they? Is anybody taking credit for this at this point? What do we think?
Well, we don't know the identities of the exact attack of the attackers themselves, but the Islamic State has claimed credit for the attack, and I believe that it's a credible claim based on the history of things that we've seen in Brussels specifically, you know, the attack on the Jewish Museum, the links to the Paris attacks, and the arrests over the last couple of weeks. So really, the claim by the Islamic State is probably valid.
Tell me, this is in Europe, this is an attack on Washington, D.C. It's the home of NATO, but it is also the home of the EU. Is that just a coincidence that this is happening at the capital city? Is this just, you know, Brussels right next to France and just a hotbed? Or is this an attack on the EU intentionally?
Well, I think it's kind of both and all the above. I mean, the problem is there because of the environment in Brussels and just the number of jihadis who live there. I mean, I think proportionally, there are more jihadists fighting with the Islamic State and with Al-Qaeda overseas than there are even French or British citizens. So they're going to have issues with people that are living there. But I think the symbology is there too. Listen, they went to that metro stop near the EU headquarters on purpose. They detonated the one device near the American Airlines ticket counter on purpose. That's the symbology there. That's the message you're trying to get out.
With Donald Trump saying that he was, you know, he thinks we should get out of NATO because it's worthless. What would your advice be on that one?
Well, I think that I mean, certainly, let's face it, for a long time, the Americans have been the number one contributor to NATO, and certainly we are the most capable of NATO. But really, our allies there need us. And if you go over into Europe, you talk to the Poles, you talk to the Czechs, the other members of NATO, they really realize the importance of having a strong American ally who can, you know, kind of back them up and then can protect them from the menace of Russia.
Yeah, let's talk about the menace of Russia here just a little bit, if you can. Russia has its own problems with Islamic extremism. They take a very heavy hand there, but they have their own problems. Putin is setting himself up as a friend of all of Europe, but they are also funding a lot of the fascistic new leaders that are rising up, from the Golden Dawn Party to Le Pen in France. They are sprinkling the seeds through cash to help some of these very spooky fascist groups to rise up and cause chaos on the streets. What do you know about that?
Let's face it, Russia and the Soviets before them has long played this game of surrogates. You know, we saw it in this country with, you know, the radical groups that they were, you know, subsidizing during the 60s. We saw it with basically the way the Marxist International was funded. You know, the Bader-Meinhof, all those other groups were trained by, you know, the Stasi. They were trained by the KGB, you know, the IRA, the all, you know, all those, the Italian Red Brigades. So it's really not surprising to see them use that kind of tactic again. And indeed, I believe they're still using, you know, the Marxist card if you look at Turkey with groups mm-hmm. like the DHKPC there. The Marxist terrorist group that's been attacking the Turkish government. So the use of proxies is definitely something that Moscow has done and will continue to do.
How close do you think Europe is to, I don't even know, Islamic war, civil war? You know, you have these radical groups that are just not going to be, I mean, people don't change. When they're hungry, they feel threatened. When they feel their way of life is over, they will do the same kinds of things that Germany did in the 1930s and 40s. And it seems those seeds are being planted and watered. What happens to Europe? Do they go into some sort of Islamic jihad? Do we see revolution on the streets? Do you see the breakup of the EU?
Well, I think the EU is definitely, you know, is crumbling. They're having problems, you know, holding themselves together.
How does that play out in the scale for each individual country? Does it break apart and we go into chaos, or does that just fade away?
I think eventually it's going to fade away, but we are going to see problems, and we've seen not just the right, but also the left, you know, extreme mm-hmm. left, building up in places like Spain, like Italy, like Greece. So you definitely do have extremism on both ends of the spectrum rising up, and that is going to result in renewed violence. We're going to see renewed terrorism, from both of these wings, and it is going to lead to problems. I don't think it's going to, take Europe down to, the status of Libya or some other, Somalia or someplace. But I do think that the European countries are going to have to struggle to keep these, extremists under control.
The Muslim extremists or the political extremists?
All the above. And quite frankly, the Muslim extremists, the jihadists also pose a very, very real threat to Europe right now. And we've seen that. The good thing is, though, it's not a huge high level threat. It's kind of a persistent low level threat against these soft targets. That's what we're going to continue to see in Europe, as well as in the United States and elsewhere.
But you have countries like Sweden that is on the verge of collapse economically because they didn't expect people just to come and take, and that's what's happening, come and take and then not replenish the tax base, but also not replenish the culture, changing the culture entirely. I don't understand how you have the resources to fight the right, the left, and the Islamic threat when you're already bankrupt from a giant government state.
Well, absolutely. It goes back to that old Margaret Thatcher quote, right? Socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. Right. And we're rapidly approaching that point in many parts of Europe.
What is happening with us? What should the president be doing today to make sure that we are not in this same situation?
Well, no, I believe that really the big thing when we see attacks like Brussels, we need to just stay the course. We can't go crazy either way. We just need to continue this strangling of the Islamic State and of al-Qaeda, and we need to be relentless against them, physical pressure. But we also need to continue to work with our allies and encourage them to fight the ideological war, which is really the root of this whole thing, is ideologically. Well, we can't kill our way out of this problem.
We're not, is Europe ahead of us or are they behind us? Because we're not even admitting that this is Islamic extremism. When the socialist president of France comes out and says, this is Islamic extremism as we're at war, he sounds like a cowboy compared to our president.
And that's especially comical considering the way that the Europeans used to view George Bush.
Yeah.
And they saw him as being such a cowboy, mm-hmm. following the 9/11 attacks.
Well, they've all been telling us for years we have to be more like Europe. I think we're seeing now why so many of us said, no, we don't want to be like Europe. They're paying a heavy price for their multiculturalism. Thank you very much, Scott.
Wow. Well, here we are, and what's amazing about this is that how can you confront an enemy that you won't even mm-hmm. identify with? I mean, Secretary of State just declared ISIS that they did, it was genocide, mm-hmm. what happened amongst the Christians, but he used an acronym called Daesh. And it's like,
who's that?
What yeah. is that?
Right.
It's the acronym that means jihadist army. And so are we just supposed to wait? Listen, we don't have to look too far to what lies ahead for the United States. All we have to see is what's happening in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. And you got to ask yourself, what is the tipping point? When we get back from this break, we're going to be discussing more about this detailed analysis. And in particular, because we just focused on Europe, we're going to be talking about what lies ahead for the United States. But before we go to break, we do have a special offer for you. Partner for any amount, and it's yours. Speaking into your destiny. You don't want to miss it. Get it now.
I'm very excited about today's offer. It's offer 2003, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny. We serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were. Then they become. He has created us, mankind, in His image and in His likeness. When God speaks over our lives, we can hold on to those words and speak them out, holding on knowing that they'll come to pass just as God said they would. It's easy to speak and agree with what we can see, but when it comes to what we can't see, that is where faith kicks in. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Though we're not perfect, God's Word is perfect, and we can trust and have faith in His Word no matter our struggles on the journey of life. We saw struggles that took place in Abraham's life,
but it didn't change the fact that he is the father of faith. You'll be challenged as we remember God does miracles amongst us, not because we obey some law or are perfect, but because we believe his word. Today's offer is offer 2003, speaking and believing yourself into your destiny. That's offer 2003. For any gift whatsoever, just go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompt. Or you can write to VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2003. That's offer 2003, speaking and believing yourself into your destiny.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, some ways to change up your approach to disciplining your children. I'm John Fuller, and here's Counselor John Rosemond.
You can be consistent to the point where you become completely predictable. And if you become completely predictable, your child is really going to immunize to the discipline that you are repetitively delivering. Timeout is an example. If all you're doing every time your child is misbehaving is putting your child in timeout for 10 or 15 minutes, your child gets to the point where he doesn't care. You know, timeout is something he's perfectly used to, and it's become just a minor annoyance in his life, certainly nothing that is going to bring about any significant behavior change. So be consistent, but also mix and match and be somewhat unpredictable.
More trusted advice for moms and dads at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, if there, you know, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded with inside of me. I go, whoa, I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Steve, it looks like potentially we are in a perfect storm, you know, perfect storm that is involving the economy. I mean, right now, oil is selling at $40 a barrel, and it just it increased, but, you know, reports are that it's not going to last long. You have situations going on with terrorism, and of course, we saw riots, and the riots have slowed down, but in this political environment we're in, we're seeing protesters become very violent.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying that this could be the summer of rage. This is something that, you know, Greg's been talking about. And prophetically, and even Chuck Pierce said, listen, because of what the president said to Israel, we're going to go back to the 1960s. And what do we have in the 1960s? We had race riots. We had the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of the president, John F. Kennedy, and then his brother, Bobby. And this was a really tumultuous time. We had protesters. It was the rise of the feminist movement. And it was just wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely chaotic. And could this be that summer all over again? If you notice, you got some of the best of times and some of the worst of times, because on a previous program, we were talking about how we could potentially be in Azusa 2.0. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got all these good things happening as well as some really awful things that are on the horizon. And we need wisdom. We need to hear God. Well, we're going to bring to you Glenn Beck, PJ Media, as they begin to talk about what is on the horizon for America. I want you to watch this.
I want to talk a little bit about Brussels, the meaning, and really how we shape up. I want to start with this. We have let more Muslim refugees into the United States in the last 5 years than the entire Muslim population of Belgium. This is coming our way. And a man who knows it really well from PJ Media is Patrick Poole, good friend of the program. Hi, Patrick. How are you, sir?
Get along. Thanks for having me.
Okay, tell us what happened, because this weekend most Americans don't understand that there were riots in one of the suburbs. Can you start us at the weekend? What happened?
Over the weekend, Glenn, we saw that Saleh Abdeslam, who was one of the prime operators with the November attacks in Paris, which killed more than 100 people. He was arrested in the Brussels suburb of Molenbeek. And in fact, this suburb, Molenbeek, is a predominantly Muslim area.
It's a no-go zone, is it not?
Well, yeah. And in fact, the Home Affairs Minister said after the Paris attack, and when it was reported that the attackers were tied to this city outside of Brussels, that he said the government has no effective control over the area, meaning these no-go zones that just several months ago the media was telling us didn't exist.
Patrick, most people don't really, they're not following Europe. I bet a lot of people don't even realize the significance of Brussels, the home of the EU. And they don't have any clue, because the press does such a poor job, and they're so politically correct, to explain to America, Europe is on the verge of falling. Would you agree with that?
Well, certainly they have considerable problems, and it's clear with the response to this arrest over the weekend. And then they knew that there was going to that there were other members of the cell that they weren't able to round up, and we're hearing the Belgian counterterrorism authorities are admitting that they just have no way to be able to handle the scope of this threat. And we're hearing the same things from Germany, from France, from Great Britain, and
Sweden, Norway.
Yeah, and we're seeing that the FBI director came out and said here several months ago that they're tracking 900 potential ISIS suspects in every single state of the union, and that's just an enormous task for our counterterrorism
and apparatus. I will tell you that I think that 900 is probably a very low number. Those are just probably the ones that we know. At George Mason University yesterday, you want to tell us what happened there?
Well, the reporting is that there were three students who were in a dorm, some kind of fire or explosion. The police discovered that there were bomb-making components, pipes, nails, the shavings from match heads, which is used as, to trigger pipe bombs. These three students at George Mason University right here in the D.C. area have been arrested, and yet the police have not identified who those students are yet.
Is that unusual, Patrick?
Well, I mean, it's, they might be continuing an investigation. You know, there are some excuses. But, Glenn, we see this time and again where, we saw it with the attack in my hometown of Columbus just last month, where the guy attacked an Israeli restaurant with a machete, shouting Allahu Akbar. And within, minutes, police officials were coming out. This isn't terror related. And yet it turns out that the guy had been on the FBI terror watch list. And, you know, so there's this concerted effort in incidents like this to downplay the source of where all these attacks are coming from. And yet here in Belgium, these were known individuals. They knew that the cell was out there operating, and they still weren't able to prevent it. That is a serious problem.
This is also why Donald Trump does well in the polls, and why they don't want anyone who is a politician or part of the system, because they believe, people believe, that everyone is lying to us, and this is a good example of it. We all know what's going on. The president today spoke out of Cuba, would refuse to say Islamic terrorism. There's no way to win this, Patrick. There's no way to win this unless we get serious about it.
Absolutely, and we've really not seen any of the presidential candidates really forcefully come out and address the issue of the ideology that drives this, and the fact that the Obama administration for the past 7 years has had an active campaign to suppress any ability for our national security and counterterrorism agencies to be able to look at ideology, as we saw in December with the San Bernardino attack, where the ICE officials were not able to ask, the wife of the attacker that, what her ideology was. And so here we are. And there's other news about purging DHS files of terrorist suspects, Hillary's terrorist hands-off list, which Judicial Watch just got confirmation of through FOIA. There's just so much left unexplained. And where is Congress in all this?
I talked to Ted Cruz this morning right after the bombing, and I said, you just appointed as one of your advisors on terror, Frank Gaffney, which I thought was interesting because Frank is kind of like you, Patrick. The mainstream media doesn't want to talk to you. They don't want to talk to Frank Gaffney. Many people in the government don't want to talk to you guys because you say the truth. It's interesting to me that the people who the Bush administration listened to at first, and then when it got too politically incorrect, stopped listening to them. Those are the people that are coming back around. General Boykin is another one that are now going to be listened to finally. Question is, how late in the game are we, Patrick?
We're very behind. The fact is, while ISIS is slowly getting rolled back in Syria and Iraq, we have AQIM operating in Africa, conducting terror attacks virtually every day, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, and now we see these large scales. What we saw today is virtually unprecedented in Western Islamic terrorism, where you've had a group be able to pull off two spectacular attacks within 4 months successively. I mean, we've never seen that. So clearly their networks are firmly established. And Glenn, there's no reason to believe that the same problem is right here in the United States. I mean, we'd be foolish to think that the problem is somehow over there across the pond and that we don't have the same problems here.
I believe we have on tomorrow night's program exclusive video of the Muslim Brotherhood talking here in America about a summer of rage and how they are beginning to work with Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter for a summer of 1968. We could see this here clearly. We could see this here in America, and that changes absolutely everything.
Absolutely. And, it's not just the domestic you know, radicalization, which is really geared towards ginning up support for the Democratic Party for the election in November. But then you have, you know, genuine terrorist groups like ISIS, you know, Al-Qaeda, you know, core still wants to get in the game. And you have other terrorist groups who want to improve their profile. And then you have all these lone wolves, you know, disconnected individuals, individual jihad, like we saw in San Bernardino. The threat is metastasizing. And it's clear that this administration has not been up to the challenge.
Patrick, thank you very much.
Thanks, Glenn.
Appreciate it. More on this in just a second. But I want to remind you what I said this summer. As we got ready this last summer, and I said the seasons are changing and things are going to start happening now, I talked to you about three things that I thought were coming. Economic instability, riots on the streets in America, and Islamic terror. Those are the three things. We have one that has begun. We have the second that has begun now over in Europe. But both of those will become a part of our lives, I believe, before November's election. The last one is tied to the first two. These two happen. Economic instability becomes a given.
Summer of Rage. And just as Glenn was sharing about that, I was thinking, Steve, about Detroit. Detroit went through a collapse, a bankruptcy that was so horrible that there were not enough funds to actually finance their own police department. And the police is putting out announcements warning people, come to Detroit at your own risks. Can you imagine a situation where the economy is so bad that we can't even afford to protect ourselves, and then the jihadists will take advantage of it. Listen, we need prayer. We need to seek the heart of God. We need to be vigilant in our communities and be aware of what's happening. Pay attention this summer. Really pay attention over the next 6 months. This is going to be a very interesting time, and you want to be prepared. If you've been watching this program, we've been talking about prudent preparation and the things that you need to do to prepare mentally, physically, and most of all, spiritually. Because if you do, God will give you the wisdom, and he'll lead you, and he'll direct you in every which way that you need to go. Well, here we are. It's Good Friday, and it is Easter. I mean, it's coming up, Steve. This is such a wonderful time that we get to celebrate and remember what Jesus has done for us. I mean, so many people like so many different holidays. Listen, it's Easter. It's Easter. If it wasn't about, you know, Jesus, yes, he was born. Yes, we celebrate Christmas, but Jesus was born to die. He had a mission, and thank God that he was faithful in his mission to redeem us of sin, death, hell, and the grave. He is victorious. He is risen. He is alive, and we can be with him. We can make that decision. I'm excited about a play, a drama, if you will, production that was just recently done, Steve, by Tyler Perry. It's called The Crucifixion Story. But what was unique about this production, couple things. One, that it was live.
Yeah.
Fox aired it. And secondly, it was done with a modern twist. Same story, biblical, but narrated and done in a way that it was
musical.
like if Jesus was
powerful,
walking the streets right now. In fact, watch this.
There is no fear now. I will love you.
The final hours of Christ's journey on earth are coming to life with actor and award-winning singer Giancarlo Scanella taking on the lead role.
How do you prepare to play Jesus? it's one of the biggest honors I've ever been given.
It's a musical take on the 2,000-year-old story, set in the streets of present-day New Orleans.
We're staying true to the biblical sense of it in the scriptures. That is intact. That is not being changed. No one is writing words in Jesus' mouth. Like, that's not going to happen. But just everything that surrounds it refreshes the story, and I just feel that it's going to appeal to an even bigger audience that needs to hear that story about love and about acceptance and forgiveness. And I know that I needed to hear that message when this opportunity came into my life.
Country superstar Trisha Yearwood plays the mother of Jesus. And New Orleans native son Tyler Perry narrates the two-hour Fox Television special, which includes performances from gospel artist Yolanda Adams and American Idol alum Chris Daughtry.
I am playing Judas, the bad guy. The ultimate villain. But I think it's a character that I think there's a bit of Judas that we can all relate to. You know, we've all made decisions that we didn't exactly think out the ramifications before doing it, and we've all felt guilty for doing something.
While this production is new to American television, it's become a tradition in the Netherlands. There are multiple moving parts throughout the Crescent City, a stage, big screens, and people carrying a 20-foot illuminated cross from the Superdome to the banks of the Mississippi. The massive production is part of what attracted Michael W. Smith to the project, playing one of Jesus' disciples.
I like adventure. I think it's unique. I think it's really wild and a wild and wonderful idea that has worked in Holland, and why would it not work here? Found out who the cast was and just thought, I think I could sink my teeth into this thing. So here I am.
Shane Harper.
It's not even atheism anymore.
Known for his breakout role in God's Not Dead, also plays a disciple.
There are people, you know, who are going to be very familiar with this story, who grew up hearing about it in Sunday school. It's going to be people that haven't had that experience. And I hope that both of these groups of people will come with open hearts to this performance.
The play hangs on popular music, with lyrics rewritten to tell the story.
I sing The Reason by Hoobastank, which for me was always a great song about love. You know, it was always one of my favorite records. And coming here to the Passion now, singing this song after Peter denies Christ three times, and now kind of seeing the song from a whole other point of view, it's definitely going to be, I think, an emotional performance.
Unconditionally, I will love you.
This is an emotional story of unconditional love.
My biggest prayer is that this will reach millions of people that would normally never hear the gospel, but they would probably really totally understand who Jesus really is. Because I think there's so many misconceptions about who he is.
It's a prayer being answered on set, even as cast members practice for the live Palm Sunday performance.
When I said yes to this, I started becoming even closer than I was before to the story, to the scriptures, to the book, to the Bible. And in doing so, I was reminded that yes, he was such a powerful being, but he was also human. And people forget that he was human, you know? And I think we need to be reminded of those moments of humanity.
Ephraim Graham, CBN News, New Orleans.
Wow, pretty powerful. Yes, indeed, human, fully man, fully God. And one of the reasons that Tyler Perry gives for wanting to be a part of this production was he said that he was shocked when he heard a report that millennials, many of them have not heard of the crucifixion story and you know, Jesus' salvation story.
The whole reason.
Can you believe it? Yeah. I mean, he was shocked, and so he definitely wanted to put his whole weight behind it. But we want you to hear the crucifixion story by some special young people. You're going to be impress as they share the gospel with you. Watch this.
Hey, Levi, the Easter story is amazing.
Yeah, I especially love the end, baby.
Do you want to tell a story?
Sure. It goes like this.
Jerusalem was a happening place.
The holiday was called Passover.
Jesus came by donkey transport.
Hosanna was the password.
Palm branches were everywhere.
People called him king.
Days later, nothing was the same.
From grand entrance to final meal.
From the mat to the garden.
For just 37 coins.
Jesus was betrayed.
And Jesus was arrested.
It was just awful.
The high priest and the governor interrogated Jesus.
The evidence wasn't to the jet.
And the whole thing was rigged.
Even the crowd turned.
and shouted, "Crucified him!"
Jesus was stripped.
Jesus was whipped.
Jesus was mocked.
Jesus was tortured.
He wore a crown
of thorns.
Ouch! That head hurt! They hung him on a cross.
And it wasn't a pretty sight.
Jesus cried, "It is finished,"
and breathed his last.
They laid him in a tomb.
And they sealed it with a very big rock.
The tomb was full.
After the Sabbath, the women went to the tomb.
Nothing had prepared them
for the surprise that waited.
The tomb was empty! The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid.
He's not here.
He is risen.
Check it out yourself.
Now go tell everyone
this great news.
It's still good news today.
That tomb is still empty.
And Jesus still lives.
And that's the only hope
for you and me.
And this crazy world that we live in, it's not complicated, really.
We have a Savior.
Jesus Messiah.
He died for us.
When I survived,
he was for us.
Up from the grave he arose.
He lives for us.
Because he lives.
So we worship him.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt.
Forgiven and redeemed.
This is amazing grace.
And that's what Easter is all about.
Go tell everyone this great news. That tomb is still empty. Christ is risen from the dead. Trembling over death by dead. Come awake, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave.
That is beautiful. I love it. Listen, this Easter, keep Christ, keep Jesus in Easter. This is the time for us to celebrate not a bunny, but the risen Lord, that he died for our sins, that he redeemed us, not just us, but he redeemed an entire world. Mm. It's time for us to share the gospel like never before and to invite our friends maybe to the church service. Talk to them about the Lord. Invite them to receive Jesus as the Lord and tell them the good news. Well, listen, we want to pray for you and we ask you, please, pray for us. Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that nothing takes you by surprise. Father, we ask that you give us wisdom, Lord, as we just pray about all the different things that are happening all over Europe, all over the world, and what's happening in our own country, the United States. Father, we pray that you would turn our hearts back to you, Lord. Forgive us for our pride, our arrogance, Lord. Forgive us for the innocent shedding of blood. And as we celebrate Easter, we celebrate what Jesus did for us, Lord, what he did for mankind, may we never forget your amazing love for us. And may we never remain silent of sharing this good news with every single person that we possibly can. Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.